More now on the Donald Trump bet in financial markets. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The heavy equipment maker Caterpillar is trying to reduce near-term expectations that spending on fixing expensive stuff that's broken in America, infrastructure, will suddenly boost its bottom line, perhaps someday but not now. Cat stock, though, is up about 10% higher than it was before the election. With that and more, let's turn to Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Morning, Susan.
Everyone in the market is very excited that there might be some infrastructure spending. And now we're finally starting to see an incoming administration really talk it up and talk about that actively. At the same time, remember that we're still getting earnings reports from companies. So management teams are out there talking to the street and talking about the outlook. And what's interesting is we're starting to hear in the last couple of days, management teams coming out saying, yes, that's a great thing. Fiscal policy and all that infrastructure spend would be great, but it's not happening tomorrow.
Now, another sector that seems to be quite happy about higher inflation, higher interest rates, is the banking sector, and people who invest in banking stocks have been buying even more.
Interest rates for banks are very important. You need to have a difference between long-term interest rates and short-term interest rates for banks to make money. With the 10-year going up to north of 2%, 2.10%, that's a great thing for banks because suddenly now banks have the ability to leverage that difference in interest rates. And then on top of that, we have the general perception that Trump is all for less regulation. And the banking industry has almost been in a stranglehold from the amount of regulation and oversight that's been put on it, and it hasn't tapered off at all. So now the fact that that might be tapering off and banks get a little more flexibility in moving, that's seen as very positive. So financial stocks have had a good run here these last 2 days.
All right. Thank you for this. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
The price of copper is up 19% this week on wagers about Trump administration infrastructure plans aided by a friendly Congress. Also on Election Day, New Jersey, L.A., Atlanta, along with other state and local governments, were able to get more than 30 measures passed to improve transportation. Marketplace's Andy Euler has some context.
When America first built its highway system, the federal government offered incredibly generous matching grants. For every dollar a state spent on interstates, the feds chipped in nine more. But in recent years, Congress hasn't wanted to spend money on large transportation bills, which has created
this sort of legion of what we call self-help local governments, people in these local governments deciding to go it alone and to use more local taxes to try and fill in this gap.
That's Michael Manville. He teaches urban planning at UCLA. He says we pay for these projects nowadays through higher gas taxes and sales taxes. Dan Sperling is director of transportation studies at UC Davis. He says selling these measures often comes down to the wording.
They've all been written in such a way that they list specific projects. So it takes away the unease that some people have that they're just giving money to government and it goes into a black hole.
Voting for a tangible project suggests a certain level of government accountability. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
One of the president-elect's stated goals for his first 100 days is to push for a law to discourage companies from laying off U.S. workers to relocate to other countries and to ship products back tax-free. These are among the policies that are being noted with concern in Europe. Marketplace contributor and editor-in-chief of The Globalist, Stefan Richter, is now based in Berlin and puts the reaction of Europe's leaders to the Trump victory like this.
Disbelief, period. Disbelief, period. Disbelief, period. What the hell is going on? End of story.
But the most enduring diplomatic and trading relationship the U.S. has still is the transatlantic one. Mr. Trump has not repudiated that.
He isn't repudiating that, and I'm sure he has quite a few real estate deals that depend for profitability and returns on the continued attraction of the transatlantic relationship. I think that safeguards us that he is a businessman, and in the end, Mr. Trump is going to be much cooler food than everybody now thinks that he's going to be extra hot mustard.
But, you know, you mentioned disbelief, but European leaders themselves are very well acquainted with pressure from their own electorates about, let's say, immigration and taking in refugees and how this plays out in the political process. They shouldn't be so surprised.
They are surprised simply because they worry about their own fate. In the end, European governments rely on a professional democracy far more, and the professional bureaucracy is far more powerful than in the United States, where a new president can really have much more, especially with this kind of constellation in the U.S. Congress, governing through as to his predilection, so that much more really depends on the personality of Mr. Trump and the stability of the president-elect.
What about what seems to be a kind of mutual warmth expressed by Mr. Trump and Mr. Putin, the leader of Russia? How's that playing out among Europe's leadership?
I think cooler heads in Europe believe that the classic Republican machinery of running administrations will take hold of Mr. Trump, and Mr. Trump will understand that he needs professionals. And, you know, after all, as an executive, he has relied greatly in his career on the art of delegation. And he must realize that the art of the deal only goes so far in the real world of politics.
From Berlin, Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of The Globalist. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm David Brancaccio in New York with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.